from Revelation chapter 22, where three times we have the words reiterated from our Lord, "Behold, I come quickly," verse 6, again in verse 7, again in verse 12, "Behold, I come quickly." And then in verse 21, "Surely I come quickly." And John's response is, "Amen, even so, come Lord Jesus." Well, the evangelist was preaching and really getting into it and leaning heavily on this rather feeble pulpit. Second time he said, "Behold, I come quickly," and he came down in the pulpit. Third time he came down in the pulpit a little too hard. The pulpit gave way and he landed in the front row of seats in the lap of an elderly woman. And he picked himself up and began to apologize all over the place. And she said, "Young man, you don't have to apologize. You warned me three times you were coming." Our Lord has warned us at the end of this book three times that he is coming. Now, if you have a red letter edition of the New Testament, you will notice that each verse, verse 7, verse 12, verse 21, are in red letters. At least they should be, because these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Isn't it interesting? This is the last book of the Bible that was written about 90 AD. The very last thought on the lips of our Lord before the heavens became silent is, "I am coming quickly." Now, how do we know that these are the words of the Lord Jesus? Verse 7, "Behold, I am coming quickly." It's obvious someone's coming quickly, but how do we know these are the words of the Lord Jesus? Well, let me remind you that John the Apostle, the beloved Apostle, according to the Gospel of John, was with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry. He was an eyewitness of all that Jesus was and all that he did. In that last week of our Lord's life, the most important week in history, on the third day of that week, Jesus was seated opposite the city of Jerusalem and the great temple and its compound, and he began to teach the disciples from the Mount of Olives as he was overlooking the city. John was present when our Lord was there with his disciples. They asked him three questions. They said, "Master, tell us, when will these things be?" That is the destruction of the city and its temple. "And what shall be the sign of your coming? And what shall be the sign of the end of the age?" Jesus proceeded to tell them that within that generation, the city and its temple would be destroyed, which happened 40 years after our Lord's death or thereabouts. Now we have entered into this period of unspecified time when our Lord said, "There will be many who will come in my name saying that I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. They will show great signs and wonders, if it were possible, insomuch as to even deceive the very elect." And then our Lord went on to say, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the heavens, the very powers of the heavens are going to be shaken, and then will they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Behold, he is coming." He finished his message on the Mount of Olives in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37 by saying, "As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, God shut the door, they knew not, until the floods came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." That was on the third day of that final week. 3 days later, now they're in the upper room. It's the night of our Lord's betrayal, the night before his crucifixion. Only the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, also recorded the upper room discourse in John 14 through 16. These memorable words from our Lord's lips, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again." There's the promise. "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Verse 14, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you," he said. He would send his Holy Spirit in the meantime, but then at the end of the age, he would come back for his people. John was there. There was no mistaking it. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. "Behold, I am coming quickly." And even Jesus himself identifies himself as such, where he says in verse 16 of our passage, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to signify these things to you." John was also present with our Lord in Acts chapter 1 when our Lord is ascended up from his disciples. The 11 are there gathered about as Jesus is teaching them many things about the present, many things about his kingdom, showing himself to be alive by many infallible proofs. And after his ministry of 40 days, after his resurrection is finished, all at once he is taken up from them in their midst. And as the disciples watch him go up from them, the angels appear to them and say, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into the heavens shall so come in like manner just as you have seen him go." Our Lord is coming. And before the heavens became silent, our Lord reiterated three times, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Now notice in verse 10, as we get into our text, "He said to me, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.'" In Daniel chapter 8, and again in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 26, Daniel is told to shut up the book and seal it until the time of the end. There were many things in Daniel that could not be understood in his day or in the generations immediately following. When the book of Revelation is finished, Jesus says, "Don't seal the book of Revelation." Why? Because it's to be read. There's a promise of blessing for those who read it and those who heed it and obey its commandments and its teaching. It is to be an open book. We make the book of Revelation hard, but the book of Revelation is really simple. It's all about the unveiling, the manifestation of Jesus Christ at the end of this age to consummate history. That's the theme of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, "Behold, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and even those who pierced him, and all peoples of the earth are going to wail because of him." That's the theme of the book of Revelation. "Behold, I am coming quickly." It is not to be a sealed book. Now look down in verse 12. "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his works." You say, but wait a minute, nearly 2,000 years of history have come and gone since our Lord spoke these words in AD 90. How are we to take them then? "Behold, I come quickly." Well, the answer is, and it's verified in the Greek, that what he means is when he comes, he will come quickly. It didn't mean that he would come necessarily soon, but when he comes, he will come quickly. Isn't that what he taught in other places? In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27, again in that Mount of Olives discourse, he said, "As lightning flashes from out of the east in the eastern sky and even shines unto the western sky, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be, as quick as the flash of lightning." Again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as quickly as you can twinkle your eye." Our Lord says his coming will be at the end of this age to consummate history as we know it. At that moment, the fate of all men will have already been decided. Verse 11, "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." Now remember, the context here is of our Lord's coming. When he comes, it will be too late then if you are still in your sin to do anything about it. Don't ever think, "Well, I'll have another chance, and somehow the Lord will warn me that he's coming." No, he's already warned us of that. When he comes, he will come quickly, and you will not be able to change one thing in that day. There won't be time. Whatever you're going to do about your life, you better do it now. Whatever decisions you need to make about your own salvation, about Jesus Christ and his part in your life, you better make it now. There's coming a day when you can no longer make that decision. You know, there's a devilish doctrine that's floating around our country, and it's becoming popular among Hollywood people and all across our land. And it's the doctrine of reincarnation. It's all a part of Eastern mysticism and mythology. It teaches somehow if you blow it in this life, you're going to come back in another form in the next life, and then you'll have another opportunity in the next life to do things differently and to redeem yourself. But the Bible does not teach that, my friend. It does not teach that. Let him who is filthy be filthy still. Let him who is righteous be righteous still. Let him who is holy, when our Lord comes, he will continue for eternity in that state of holiness. But there will be no changing. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral. Those of us who are dog lovers don't like that. Our Lord was not talking about literal dogs. He referred to people as dogs. Paul referred to people as dogs. Evil people, evil workers. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2, beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of those who are of the mutilation, the circumcision, who glory in the flesh. Then later on, in verse 17 of Philippians chapter 3, Paul identifies how these dogs walk. He says, many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you it now even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame. Who set their mind on earthly things, whose God is their belly. You ever watch your dog? His God is really his belly. Doesn't matter what time of the day, you've got some scraps for him, he's going to be there. You know why? Because he is a beast, whether you like it or not. Your dog is a beast. He's part of the beast kingdom. And he's going to act like a beast. How does a beast live? He walks by his senses. Whatever he can see, whatever he can hear, whatever he can feel and touch and taste, that's how he lives. But there's no faith. Doesn't that describe how our present generation lives? By their feelings. It's captured in that bumper sticker, whatever feels good, do it. That's how a dog lives. And our Lord says when he comes that those who are living like the dogs, they're going to be shut outside of heaven's gate. They won't see it because there's no faith there. They never trusted Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins and for eternal life. Now these are the words of Jesus. Look in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Isn't that beautiful? Our Lord says, I'm the root and offspring of David. He fulfills all of those prophetic expectations concerning the throne of David and concerning the king who would be seated upon the throne of David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14 and following. He fulfills all of those expectations of the one who would follow in the lineage of David and be the great king in Israel and the king over all the world. He is also the bright and morning star. Now, we don't study the stars much anymore, but back in biblical times, even the shepherds knew a lot more about the stars than we do. You know why? Because as they studied the stars, they could tell certain things about the stars and the movements of the stars. They could tell about the time of the year. They couldn't call the nearby radio or television station, find out what time it is and what the weather's going to be and when the seasons change. No, they only knew that by studying the stars. And there is that bright morning star that always appears in the very darkest before the dawn. And the shepherds would know as they looked up and they saw the brilliant appearance of the bright morning star, that a new day was about to dawn. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. We have a more sure word of prophecy unto which we do well that we take heed, as unto a light shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Christ is the day star. And when he appears at the very darkest hours in human history, at the end of this age, when he appears, his appearance will signal a new day. A new day has come for God's people. Surely I am coming quickly, our Lord says in verse 20. And John's response is, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Look back in verse 18. This message is sure. Don't you tamper with this word. Don't you change this word. Don't you try to complicate this word. It is God's word. It is simple. Jesus said, I will come again. And when I come, I will come quickly. I remember back in 1954 when Billy Graham was a young fledgling evangelist and invited for his first series of crusades in London, England. Then Winston Churchill was still alive. And Winston Churchill invited this young evangelist to 10 Downing Street in order that he might quiz him about his beliefs and how he believed history would end. Because, you see, Winston Churchill was a very concerned man. This was immediately following the World War II. He saw the potential for nuclear weaponry that could literally destroy the earth and all life upon it. He saw nations beginning to develop nuclear armory and weaponry, and he was tremendously concerned. He didn't like the direction that he saw history going. And as he talked to this young evangelist, Billy Graham, instead of spending a half hour as they were scheduled, Billy Graham spent over an hour with him. And he shared with him concerning his firm faith in Jesus Christ and his belief that Jesus Christ would come at the end of this age to end history. And Winston Churchill, as he intently listened to this young man, he said his final words to Billy Graham were, "Young man, I hope that you are right, because apart from that, I see no hope for humanity." But the good news is our Lord is coming. He promises it. His last words in His Word are, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Do you realize that 1,845 times in the Old Testament, our Lord's second coming is mentioned? In fact, our Lord's second coming is mentioned 8 times more in the Old Testament than His first coming was, and He came right on schedule. 318 times in the New Testament, our Lord's coming is promised. And the very last promise we have in God's Word is, "Surely, I am coming quickly." And God's people respond and say, "Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus." But notice the invitation, the final invitation in God's Word in verse 17. "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." You realize one of the sweetest words in the English language is the word come. Come. And it's a word that occurs numerous times in our English Bibles. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. "Ho, every one of you who thirsts, come. Come to the waters. Buy wine and milk without money and without price." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your weary souls." In John chapter 7, verse 37, that last great day of the feast of the tabernacles, Jesus stood and he cried with a loud voice, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." God's Spirit says, come. The Church of Jesus Christ, the bride, says, come. The final invitation in God's Word is, come, take, eat, drink freely. It's yours for the taking. Most of us are too young to remember the bread lines during the Depression. We haven't seen them since. We may see them again. We've come close during this recession. Some have called it a depression. We may see it. Isn't it amazing that our Lord just simply stands there offering eternal life to those who will come, take it, receive it? But there's coming a day when the invitation will be closed. It's open now, but it will be closed. Our Lord says, come. The final words of the Bible, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Surely I am coming quickly." Our Lord's final words and His final invitation is, come, come. Will you come? I'm going to ask that we, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, sing 2 verses of Almost Persuaded, 437. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but I'm going to ask that we all sing. Or we all stand together and we sing 2 verses. And I would like to give you an opportunity. If you would like to come to the Savior, I would like for you, as we stand up, to just go to the back. Some of our men are going back to prepare to serve. You won't be noticed. You can just go to the back. We've got some pastors back there and others who would like to help you and show you how you can know Jesus Christ and come and eat freely and drink freely of Him and drink of life eternal. Let's stand together as we sing it. Almost Persuaded. Verse 1 and verse 3 only. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on these I'll call. Verse 3. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail, almost but lost. Father, we pray for those who have almost made that decision, but still may be weighing in the balances. We pray that you'll bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before this hour, and certainly before this day is over, because now is the day of salvation. We trust your Spirit to continue to work in the hearts of those and complete that good work which you have begun. As we spend these moments around the Lord's Supper, may we be reminded of our Lord's death, but also looking forward to his return. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Okay, I think I'm on now. We're going to ask the men to go ahead and pass out the elements. If you have not been here before with us, we just ask you to take a piece of the bread as it comes by and hold it for a moment. This is for believers only. We encourage you, if you are a believer, whether you're part of our church family or not, we want you to partake with us. This is for all of God's people. We proclaim the Lord's death, and we do it until he comes. A forward look and also a backward look to what he has done and to the fact that he will come. Let's sing and just praise him as we're passing the bread out. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim
My God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. I love him, I love him, because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I love you, I love you, because you first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Lord Jesus, we do love you and thank you for purchasing our salvation. As we have spoken this morning, the invitation to come and partake is free, and eternal life is free to them who will take in faith, believing. But we're also reminded today of the tremendous cost that you came and willingly died, voluntarily became a servant, and even submitted to death on a cross in order that we might be saved. And we bow in wonder at it all. And we worship and we thank you. He said, take this and eat it. This will do you in remembrance of me.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of and I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. as my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty on Calvary. Jesus, sweet is your name, Jesus, always the same. Jesus, sweet is your name. Jesus, always the same.
In the same way, he took the cup and he prayed. Father, we thank you for the cup, and we remember the words of our Lord Jesus as he prayed, and as it were, he sweated great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, this cup of death. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. We thank you for his example, that he willingly went and submitted himself to your will. May we do likewise in every area of our lives. May we be more like him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this cup, for your death, for your blood. And then he said, this cup represents a new covenant in my blood. This will do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. Glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, hast all things created. For thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure, they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord. To receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, hast all things created, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord.
Father, we bow before you as we receive the offering this morning. And we look at the tremendous need that is before us, a mountain that seems impossible to climb, a hurdle that seems insurmountable from man's viewpoint, but we know that you can do all things. You've also said that whatever we shall ask for in prayer, believing, we shall receive. We trust you to show yourself strong in the lives of your people. Move upon the hearts of all of us to give sacrificially so that we can enter into this new place where we can assemble together and worship and have more room and the opportunities perhaps to even have a larger ministry than we've had here. And Lord, we pray not for man's glory, but for the glory of our Lord Jesus. We ask that you would bless what is given. During these weeks, we pray that our general fund would not be jeopardized, that we would be able to continue the ministries that you have led us into and the mission support and all the various ministries here and home. May you indeed be glorified. May you provide for each need, for each family in their own finances as well. May you receive all glory in the weeks before us, we pray in Jesus' name. These are exciting weeks for us as we trust the Lord in that moment, to use an overused phrase, where the rubber meets the road has arrived. And we're going to trust the Lord to provide that in the weeks before us. Tonight, Jim Barker begins a series that many of us will be participating in on the Beatitudes for the next several weeks. So we hope you'll come tonight. Let's stand and join hands together. Across the aisle, those next to you. This is a time for the family to meet together and to worship our God together, and we're going to sing, Lord, we praise you, hallelujah. You are worthy, hallelujah, and he is coming, hallelujah. Lord, we praise you, hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Yeah.
sing, alleluia. He is coming, alleluia. He is coming, alleluia. He is coming, alleluia.
And all of God's people said,
amen.
Have a good day.